Chapter number 4, if you find your place, stand with us. And we're just going to read a few verses, preaching one verse this morning, if the Lord be our helper. Amen. Brother Mike, thank you for bragging on the Lord. I'm glad our God is a saving God. Amen. Man's greatest problem today is sin. His greatest need is salvation from that sin. And I'm glad there is a Savior in glory that offers that to mankind today. He's not willing that any should perish. Brother Mike was just saying, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. The fact of the matter is, God is not willing that any should perish. There's a crowd running around in our day saying that God elected some to be saved and to go to heaven, and leaving others without any kind of hope whatsoever. I'm telling you, God is not willing that any should perish. Jesus Christ gave His life and shed His blood for every sinner, that every man, woman, boy, and girl could have the opportunity to be saved. Amen. And if you die and you go to hell, now you don't have to, but if you do, it will not be Jesus' fault. Will not be Jesus' fault. Jesus paid it all. Jesus done all that needs to be done. Amen. For you to be saved today. And I'm glad for the day that my eyes got open and that light shined in my life. Amen. And all that got took care of. What a blessed day that was. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Between Tim's Sunday school hour and Mike's testimony, I feel like preaching. Amen. Mark chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse 13, now this is the verse we ended on last week. Let me read down and we'll give you our thought this morning. And He said unto them, this is Jesus speaking now, know ye not this parable? Now how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Verse 15 said, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. I'm interested in verse 15 this morning. If the Lord will be our helper, you can be seated. Heavenly Father, we do ask indeed that you would be our helper. Lord, you know that, Lord, in ourself dwelleth no good thing. We've no strength. We've no personality. We've no abilities today, Lord, that would make any sort of eternal impact and difference upon the hearts and lives of these that have gathered in. And so, Lord, we pray you take us beyond our weakness, beyond our inabilities, beyond, Lord, what would be lacking in us today. And may the filling of the Spirit of God be evident upon our life and upon our message, Lord, upon our ministry this morning, as you've called us to do what we're getting ready to do. You have prepared our heart for this hour. You prepared these thoughts for this congregation. Lord, we don't believe anyone is here by accident this morning. This message, Lord, is for this crowd, this assembly. Lord, particularly, Lord, those that are lost that are here this morning, I pray that, Lord, they would cast aside their casual attitude about spiritual things. May the Spirit of God awaken them to the fact that there is more than today to be concerned about. And, Lord, there is an eternity. There's an appointment. Lord, there's a time when we all must stand before God and give an account of what we've done with the gospel message. And, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would do a great and a mighty work, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, we ask it and pray, amen and amen. We preached on last week the thought, what is happening with the seed? We looked at the giving of what is known in our days, the parable of the sower, and how at Christ in this opportunity of having a great multitude around that, thronging Him and pressing Him so much, And he literally enters in the ship, casts out a ways into the sea, and from the boat made a pulpit and preached that wonderful parable to the crowd that day. And as we considered and rehash or rehearse again some of that parable, we understand there are three primary things involved in the parable of the sower. There is the sower, who is the Son of God. There is the seed, that is the Word of God, or is truth that is communicated through, amen, God's sower. And then we find that the preeminent thing in this parable deals with the soul. And the soul deals with the heart of mankind. And so the sower's the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus sowing the Word, sowing the truth of the gospel. And that is falling upon the hearts of mankind. I'm interested in going beyond the seed, as we talked about it on last week, how then some of the seed is being taken away, some of it's being resisted, some of it's being restricted, and how that some of it by some is being received. And what a message there is in that, and what men and women and young folk are doing with the gospel message today. We want to emphasize some things this morning as the disciples and certain of this great multitude had come to him, and they're inquiring of him, what does this parable mean? And Christ, in answering this, reminds us that to understand this parable is essential to being able to understand any other parable. That you'll never understand heavenly truth and eternal things if you do not understand what is being taught in this parable that Christ has given. And so the question is asked in verse 13, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? And so it's important. Now, in the giving of this parable, Christ emphasized the hearts of humanity. And he did so as though our hearts are soul. Our hearts are soul. And though there was a great multitude, according to verse number 1, Jesus saw them one by one as dirt. That's what soul is. Soul, amen, is dirt. It's the dust of the ground. And when other preachers who had great multitudes coming to them would have, amen, spoke of great crowds and the fame that they had in the multitudes coming to hear them, Christ looked beyond the crowd and he seen them one by one. Amen, and viewed them as dirt. Amen, you said, preacher, that is offensive, but you gotta understand, amen, that is where man came from. Amen, that is from which God has made us. Amen, Adam was formed of the dust of the ground. Amen, he was literally formed and called out. Amen, it was nothing more than a lump of clay until, amen, God touched him and God put, amen, his breath of his spirit in man. And then man became a living soul. And so the fact of the matter is today, amen, no matter the size of the crowd and the multitudes that live in our generation, amen, as individuals, we are nothing more than dirt. Amen, but can I remind you one of the great truths I think can be emphasized in this parable is that Christ is interested in dirt. Amen, oh, you can take offense to it this morning, but the fact of the matter is, amen, Christ values the ground. He values you and I as the speck of dirt that we are. And he's interested in you and I, amen, having life and having, amen, a productive spirituality in our life. Amen, I'm glad today you say, preacher, what are you? Amen. It's a good day when I figured out what it was. Amen. The old songwriter said, a speck of dirt is all I have. Amen. Nothing worthy of God's love. And I'm glad, thank God, though I was dirt. Amen. And I am dirt, that God's Son is interested. Amen. In the ground of my heart and the dirt of my life. Amen. He's interested in dirt like us. Amen. He's interested in dirt like us. Amen. John, see what you can do with that, buddy. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen now this morning. He gives in this parable four types of hearts illustrated by various grounds that are a depiction of our heart. How we dealt with it in the giving of the parable on last week. And this morning we began and embarked, and I thought about preaching all of these in one morning. And it seems like, but Tim, as the week has gone on, the Lord has just given me direction to slow down. And let's see if this parable is as important, and it is, by the way, as Jesus has said it is, we would do well to slow down and examine what exactly it is that Jesus is giving to you and I. Amen. And so we find the wayside ground, we find the stony ground, the thorny ground, and then ultimately Christ speaks of the good ground in which the Word of God was sown. They hear the Word of God, it is received into their heart, and eventually, amen, you know it has been, because it brings forth, amen, fruit into that life. And so these are the four kinds of various grounds that are, amen, depict our heart that the seed is being sown in. I found it interesting that all four received, amen, all four received the seed, but only one retained the seed. Amen. And may I say today, God is sowing the seed in the gospel and truth and His Word. He's sowing it on everybody's life today. Amen. But it is important that we realize, amen, that it's not enough to be around the Word of God. It's not enough to hear the truth. That, amen, friend, everybody can hear and is hearing the truth. Amen. Is receiving that today. Amen. But what are we doing in retaining this matter, amen, of the seed of the Word of God? What is the matter that is in hand? Amen. The matter is the type of ground the seed is falling on. Now, the ground is a picture of our heart. And so I'm going to slow down, and we're going to preach as we're preaching through the gospel according to Mark. Amen. We've come to this parable of the sower. Some have called it the parable of the soul. Amen. And I don't have a problem with either way you want to name it. Amen. But I am interested in these various grounds that depict our heart. And I want to preach a series of four messages on this question: what kind of heart do you have? What kind of heart do you have? Amen. You see, your heart is a reflection of what you're doing with truth today. Amen. And my question is, what kind of heart do you have? Amen. Are you just receiving the Word? Or, amen, is it just being scattered upon your heart? Is it just being scattered into your life? Amen. Or is it being retained? Is it being received unto fruitfulness? Amen. And Jesus is emphasizing that there's nothing wrong with the sower. And the same seed that fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit is the same seed that fell on the other three grounds that had yielded no fruit. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. And so the matter that is at hand for you and I, amen, is what kind of heart do I have? Amen. What kind of heart do I have? Amen. What am I doing with truth and light? Amen. What am I doing with God's Word? Amen. The question today is, what kind of heart do you have? Amen. This morning, what I want to do is use here, amen, the first heart that is plainly called the wayside. The wayside. And I believe that the Lord, in using this as the first ground and the first depiction of the heart, that quite possibly it can be said this is the most common heart that there is among humanity. Amen. This is the first kind of ground that, amen, must be examined. It must be taken care of. Amen. It is the wayside heart. Christ, in dealing with this first, amen, I believe we can draw from this single verse that there is much to watch out for unless, amen, we have this kind of wayside heart. Amen. And so as we consider the question, what kind of heart, amen, do you have? I'm preaching today, Brother Mark, on this thought. Watch out for the wayside heart. Watch out for the wayside heart. I'll get right into it. Four things out of verse number 14. Amen. And we're going, amen, to eat some leftovers for lunch today. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Well, maybe some of y'all ain't, but some of us is. All right. Amen. Four truths that flow through this verse about the wayside heart. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the trampling of the wayside heart. A trampling of the wayside heart. Here's what Jesus said. Here's how this verse begins. And these are they by the wayside. The wayside is a term to describe a path or a road that went between the fields. Amen. As Christ there's in the boat, He's teaching upon the sea. Amen. Again, we say as we did last week, in my mind's eye view, I can see the Lord say, hearken and behold. And He kind of thrusts His arm toward the, amen, maybe a hillside near the lake and the sea that day. And there is a field that is there, and there is a sower that is broadcasting and throwing seed out upon the ground. And if you could look around that field and among the fields that would have been sprayed and sprinkled across that hillside, but they yelled, the wayside to which Christ is referring, amen, is the path that would be taken, amen, that would jog and jog and, amen, and move and twist and turn around of the fields that were there where the seed was being sown. It would have been a well-worn and a barren and easy to identify as it had been trampled down. This morning, if you was to leave out the doors of church and turn to the left and walk through the cedar trees between the parking lot and their house next door, you would find what would be a depiction of the wayside. Hey man, there's a path that is easy to identify. From my front doorstep to the church parking lot, hey man, there is a place that is being wallowed out. Hey man, it's been trampled out. Hey man, by us walking to and from, hey man, the house of God. And so when Christ said, behold, the wayside heart, He is referring to a path that has been trampled out. Now this morning there's some things that I want to give you about the trampling of the wayside heart. Amen. Number one, consider with me, this was, amen, about this ground, this wayside ground. Amen. This was following ground. This was following ground. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Following ground. You see, this soul is trampled because in the many feet and follow one after another to form the wayside. There is a forming. There is an influence there. Amen. There is by, amen, person after person following one another. Amen. Just going the same direction as the one that is before them. Amen. A trampling of this ground. Amen. The term, in fact, the term wayside, I found it interesting when it comes from the same word, amen, that Christ spake about when in Matthew 7 He talked about, amen, there being a wide gate. Amen, there is a wide gate. And he said, and broad is the way. That word way there is the same word, amen, that Christ is using to describe, amen, this kind of ground. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? And in verse number 13, he said, and many there be that go in thereat. Amen, Jesus said, amen, there is a wayside heart, and that wayside heart has been trampled. Amen, it has had influences poured out upon it. Amen, you know what I'm always interested in? I find it kind of humorous. Amen, this generation coming on of the sake. Amen, they say things like, amen, I'm just going to be my own person. Amen, and yet they're following everybody else in this world. Amen, you ain't being original. Amen, you're not being individual. Amen, you're being like the world that is on the wayside. Amen, and so there is an influence that we see causes a trampling of this kind of ground. Amen, are y'all with me now? Amen, a trampling, this is following ground. Amen. I would ask us today, amen, who has influence on your heart? Who are you following? What path are you going down? Who is it that, amen, you have placed in front of you to follow their lead? Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, be careful. Amen. Who you're following, you may, amen, be cultivating a wayside heart. Notice swim is not only following ground, but it is fallowed ground. Amen. You see, the wayside had been trampled, amen, to the point that it had been stomped down into a hardened path. Amen. And Christ seems to be identifying that. Amen. You know, the longer that influence is made, amen, the longer they follow one after another in the same path, and ground begins to be hard. Amen. It begins to be calloused over. Amen. And Christ said, behold, amen, the sower soweth the word. He said, and these are they, amen, that hear the word, and the seed falls upon their heart, and are the wayside-sided hearted people. Amen. They are they who have a fallow ground in their heart. Amen. You see the fallow ground, the wayside. Oh, listen to this now. It was both unbroken and unreceptive due to its callousness. It was unbroken. There had been no plow placed upon it. Amen. There had been no working of this heart. It had grown over with a callous and a hardness. And it settled in it. And in doing so, the fallowed ground, the trampling of the wayside heart, amen, being fallowed ground, it remains unreceptive. Amen. Because it has been hardened. Watch out for the wayside heart. You see, I believe that this represents those that are around, my friend, on the edges of where the seed is being sown, and the seed makes its way even to the wayside heart, and yet it represents the casual attitude of those who are uninterested in the things of God. Amen. Oh, can I say, don't allow, amen, your heart to become hardened, amen, to spiritual things, and to eternal things, and to things that really, really matter in this life. It's amazing what people are tender to and what people's hearts have become hardened to. Amen. As a preacher of the gospel these 25 years, amen, have found it amazing that, amen, friend, there are some you can preach to week in and week out, and it seems like the Word of God never makes an effect. There's never any growth. There's never any reception. Amen, friend, it is evident that they have reached a place in their heart where they are uninterested in the things of God. This is the fallow ground of a wayside heart that has been trampled. In in the book of Hosea and chapter number 10. Let me read this to you. And in verse number 12, the prophet said, sow yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Here's what he said. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. In other words, even in the Old Testament, the problem in the days of the prophets was they had heard so much truth, had been given so many challenges. Hey, and my friend, I'm talking about being blessed. And here, some of the greatest men of God that God has ever put in a pulpit and put His message in their life. And yet, my friend, they began to be uninterested. They began to be hearted. And then the message finally comes. Hey, man, this ain't doing you a lick of good. What you need to do is run a plow across your heart. Your heart has been fallow, hard and callous, and become cold, and the only hope that you have, amen, is to break up the fallow ground. We're preaching to a generation that is harder than they've ever been. Uninterested in the things of God. Only interested in what pleases the flesh. Only interested in, amen, the now and the now. And my friend, what can I get out of this life? And to make me feel good, can I say today, amen, oh, that there would be a revival even this morning in this place. That you would realize how blessed you are, amen, to have the seed of the Word of God sown into your life. Don't get hardened, I beg you. Amen, don't get hardened. Don't become callous. Amen, don't sit there unmoved. Don't sit there, my friend. Amen, stiffening your heart to the truth that God would give you. The trampling of the wayside hardened represents the fact that this is following ground. This is fallow ground. May I say it represents the fact that this is froward ground. It is froward ground. Let me explain what I mean. If the Lord will help me now. Amen. The wayside was the path. It was the path, Brother Jack, that would run close to the fields, but somehow always turned aside from the good ground. It would come right to the edge and then make a turn. And it turned this way and it turned that way. And the wayside is ground that a man is always turning aside from. Amen, where the seed is meant to be, and the ground in which, amen, the seed desires to fall and produce fruit. Amen. And so there is a turning aside, amen, from the good ground. Solomon warned his son of becoming froward in his path. I want to read some verses to you. And this first and second point there, the longest, the third and last, won't take me long. Amen. But in Proverbs chapter number 2, and let me read some verses to you. Verse number 12. Amen. Well, let me read verse number 10. Y'all with me? Say amen. The Bible said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Listen now, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Listen now, verse 15 is the verse I want to grab. He said, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. That word froward now uses that word to his son 3 or 4 times in this text. And yet when he says, and froward in their paths, that comes from a word. You know what it literally means? To turn aside from. To depart from. It means to perverse. Amen. And so when Christ is speaking in the wayside, amen, get it in your man's view now. Amen. It comes to the edge in the field and it turns his head. Amen. It's brought to another field and it turns his head. And that wayside, amen, that trampling, that treading, that walking, that way in which people are living on the wayside, Brother Larry. Amen. It seems as though to look at that path, it is a crooked path. It is a winding path, always trying to avoid the truth. Froward ground. Ground that departs from the truth. Amen. Solomon said, son, you need wisdom. You need to receive instruction. You need some understanding. You don't know it all. You need to receive what God has said in His Word. Oh, son, there is a wayside path. Amen. In which it will lead you down a crooked road. My friend, there are people that have heard so much truth. Seed is being sown on their heart. The problem is, Brother Tim, they've got a trampling that has been done in their wayside heart. They always seem to turn from the truth. They always seem to turn aside. The very moment it looks like they're getting ready to get into some good ground, they immediately depart from it as though they are saying, I'm not interested in the truth. The trampling of the wayside heart. Notice with me, number two, the treasure on the wayside heart. The treasure on the wayside heart. Amen. I love how Jesus gives us this, how Mark recorded, amen, this for us as the Lord gave it. The Bible said, and these are they by the wayside. And notice what the Bible said, where the word is sown. Amen. I'll be honest. Amen. If I was going to go sow, amen, I think if I had spent my wealth and my money on seed, amen, I'd only be looking for good ground. And my friend, I wouldn't waste my time, amen, sowing on such a place as the wayside heart. Amen. But Jesus said, amen, do you see the wayside? Amen. Do you see the wayside? Watch what the sower is doing. He is sowing treasure upon the wayside. You see, the seed is of great value to the sower. The sower has spent his money. The sower has taken great strides and given much attention to guard the seed and to keep my friend life in the seed. And so it is a treasure to him. Amen. It may not mean much to anybody else. Amen. Lawyers, they don't see seed the same way sowers see seed. Amen. Doctors cannot comprehend the value of a seed. Amen. Will be comprehended by one who is a sower. Amen. You say, what do you say? I'm saying the seed is the treasure of the sower. Jesus said, even the wayside, amen, has treasure. Amen. A wayside heart has treasure lying upon it. Amen. I call this considering this treasure. Number one, the treasure was transmitted. Amen. The sower gave the wayside his treasured seed. As hard as it was, as unbroken as it was, no one's going to accuse the sower. Not my friend giving even the wayside heart a chance. Can I say today, I'm glad for the day. Amen. Do you remember what the Bible said about blind Bartimaeus, where'd the Lord pass him by? Amen. The Bible said he's by the wayside begging. Amen. He's on the wayside. Amen. But Jesus came to where the wayside was. Amen. To a man in darkness and a man in need. Amen. And gave him an opportunity. Amen. To have a miracle done in his life. Amen. Do you understand today that the masses of humanity are by the wayside. Are by the wayside of what a treasure with. Amen. The word is transmitted into the wayside heart. Amen. You don't realize. I'm preaching to young folk today. I'm preaching to mamas and daddies today. I'm likely preaching to some grandparents today that you do not know the value of this right here. Amen. In this is life. In this is the essential of what it is to know God. In this is eternal life. Amen. Friend, the sower has placed a great value upon this as treasure of his life. Do you realize how blessed you are? Or is it just something, well, I gotta go cause mom and dad's making me go. I gotta go cause the preacher get on my back if I don't show up. My friend, all that you can understand. Amen, the treasure even in the wayside at heart. Amen, it was transmitted. Amen, oh, I've seen some of the most hard-hearted. Amen, trampled down sinners. Amen, get the seed sown on them. And the Holy Ghost come back and break up the fallow ground. And that seed get down in there. And then my friend bow down broken and receptive and get up saying, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus made a difference in my life. Amen. Amen. And so you may be hard-hearted, but the treasure that's on the wayside heart, it was transmitted. But notice with me the treasure. When we look at the wayside heart, it was not only transmitted, but Christ speaks of, and I want to use a word now to define it. Amen. But the treasure was transient to the wayside heart. You say, what do you mean? Look back with me in Matthew's account to something that Matthew gives us that Mark was not inspired to give, but Matthew was. Notice with me in Matthew 13 and verse 19 is our parallel text. Amen. If you're there or getting there, say amen. Here's how Matthew recorded this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and, listen, understandeth it not. And understandeth it not. Now here's what I want to ask you. Why can't they understand it? It ain't rocket science. It ain't a message of, amen, chemical biology. It ain't geometry. It's not, amen, I mean, it's not some great scientific formula. Amen, it's not some great, amen, that you gotta have some great IQ. Amen, the message really is a very simple message. Are y'all in the building? Why can they not understand it? Here's why they can't understand it. They view what they are hearing as being something that is transient. Something that is unenduring. Something that is mortal. Something that is non-permanent. Something that is variable. Amen. They live their life. Now listen, does this not explain the generation I'm preaching to? They live their life with a moving target of truth.
Amen.
No absolutes.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, what's true to you ain't true to me. Whoa, now where'd you get that from?
Amen.
Well, you got your way to see it and I have my way to see it. And that's why we're in the God-blessed mess we're in 2022. Amen. Because there is an ever-moving target of what people view to be truth. Amen. You will never, amen, be able to understand the gospel until, amen, there is an acknowledgement that, amen, God is truth, and in Him there is no lie, there is no darkness, there is no moving. His truth endures to all generations. Oh, are you listening today? Amen. The fact that they can't understand it, it ain't the sower's fault. It ain't the seed's fault. Amen. The sower is sowing the same simple truth and message of, amen, the need of the new birth. Amen. What is it with this wayside heart? It is that they refuse to acknowledge absolute divine truth from God. So I just don't see it that way. That's why the masses of our generation is wayside hearted. They don't want to see it that way. They don't want to see it God's way. They're uninterested in what spiritual and eternal things are being given to them. Are y'all listening? Do you realize what a dreaded day it's going to be on the day of judgment. Amen. For some of you that have heard the truth and have been preached the truth and have been told the truth, that you just view it as something transient. Amen. Something you can take it or leave it. Something that really at the end of the day doesn't really matter. Amen. Who told you that? Amen. Who told you that? Amen. God didn't tell you that. Amen. God didn't tell you that. Amen. The church has not told you that. Who told you that it doesn't really matter? It matters greatly.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Treasure. What could save your soul and your life? Amen. You just view as something that is just another philosophy. You're a fool.
Amen.
You're a fool to be exposed to the Word of God. Say, I want what's out there. I want what's on the wayside. Amen. Do you realize that God is trying to reach you today? Amen. He's trying to give you an opportunity today. Amen. But if you're going to understand it, you're going to have to realize, amen, that the seed and the Word of God is truth.
Amen.
The treasure was transmitted. It was transient. Notice with me, the treasure was trodden. The treasure was trodden. Listen to what Luke said about this giving of this parable in Luke chapter number 8. We find the same parable in verse number 5. I believe it is. The Bible said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Listen to what Luke said, and it was trodden down. Why are y'all so quiet? It was trodden down. What was trodden down? The seed, the treasure, what the sower had. Amen. Invested and spent his all to make sure, amen, the field had an opportunity to receive. Amen. It, the seed was trodden down. Trodding, a treading of the treasure. Ain't that interesting? You see, as the seed lay upon the wayside, sown by the wayside, amen, the sower looks at it, and there he sees the treasure and the seed scattered all around, only to have somebody walk by, Brother Larry, and kick it around. To walk over it as though, amen, what was the treasure, the sower, was viewed in their eyes to be nothing more than trash. This word trodden, it's used 5 times in the Word of God. And the first 3 times it's used in connection, amen, to the very story and parable that we're studying of the fourth time it is used of the multitudes that had come to see Jesus and had come to hear Him preach and to seek a miracle in His hand. And the Bible said they trod one upon another. Amen, you know what that means? Amen, that means in that mass and that crowd and they began to trod upon another. They were being rude, they were being selfish, they were being mean, they were just out for themselves. Can I say something about the wayside and the treasure being trotted? Amen. You know when people trod down the truth of the Word of God, it's evident that they are only interested in themselves. Amen. They'll even brag about it, Brother Mike. But Charlie, they'll beat their chest and throw their head up and say, amen, I don't care what God thinks. You know what they're doing? They're showing and proving that they have a wayside-sided heart. Amen, a wayside-sided heart. Amen, they're more interested in themselves than they are the sovereign God of glory. The fifth time this word is used in the Word of God is in Hebrews 10 and in verse number 29. Amen. Y'all buckle your seatbelt. I feel some preaching coming on. Hebrews chapter number 10 and in verse number 29, the Bible said of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. Jesse, that means the devalue, disrespect, and have no interest in the Son of God. How does somebody get to that place? I'm going to tell you how they get that place, Brother A.L. They have a wayside-sided heart where they trod down the Scripture. And if you'll trod down the Scripture, you will gladly trod down the Son of God. Amen. Let me put it this way. How you treat the written Word is a reflection on how you treat the incarnate Word. Amen. There is no salvation without either. You have to value the Word. You have to value the Son of God. Amen. And to trot it down, to trot down a treasure sent from glory. Amen. Oh, is to be guilty and deserving of a punishment. Amen. There's a punishment cometh for every man, every woman, every young person that will trot down God's treasure. So I don't like it. I'm going to live my life my own way. Amen. You have every opportunity to do that. There's a day coming. Everybody's going to answer for what you did with the Word of God. Jesus said the wayside heart, there is treasure that has been given to it. Dear God, can we understand a treasure's laying everywhere this morning? The most hard-hearted, I don't know if they would be older or younger today, the most hard-hearted among us today, God is privileging them. Have treasure sown. It's being thrown. Ladies, it's being thrown. Young man, it's being thrown. Brother Mike, it's being offered. It's being shown. It's being cast. It's being transmitted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what a lot of sinners do? They walk right over the seed. Kick it as they go on down their own selfish little sinful way. Ain't got time for this. I got plans. I got things I'm going to do. This is just interrupting my life. What they're doing is trotting down the treasure, the truth of the Word of God that could save them. Amen. Boy, we preaching, ain't we? say quickly a word about the theft at the wayside heart. The theft at the wayside heart. Notice back in our text this morning where the Bible said, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, a trampling, but yet a treasure. Notice with me, Jesus said, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Just that quick, what could have rescued them and saved them and been the greatest day of their life, the fowls of hell swoop in and steal away. We say a couple things about this theft at the wayside heart. Number one, it was satanic. I want everybody to listen. I want everybody to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. There is a real devil. Satan is as real as this man of God who's standing in front of you to preach the gospel to you today. And his plan and his strategy and his desire is that he could find a way to steal the seed out of your heart. He don't want you to think about it. He doesn't want you to consider it. He doesn't want you to become tender to it. And even though your heart may be hardened, he's not going to risk it all. Amen. Because you see, he knows the treasure and the power of that seed. He knows what it has done. Our multitudes that have become good ground, that and have had hearts and have received it. And even though you are wayside hearted, he ain't going to risk letting that seed lie upon your heart. So he swoops in and he grabs it as a bird, a man sitting there watching the sower even as he sows. The great thief swoops in and takes it away. He'd get you to try to fall asleep while a man of God is preaching. Now, I'm not talking about we got folk all over this place take medication. Some of y'all can't help it. Amen. And I understand that. But always, every service, you know what the devil does? He tries to put you to sleep. You know what he'll do? He'll try to get you distracted by something that hurts your feelings in the house of God. You know what it'd do? It'd try to get you in a conversation here in about 15 minutes when we're all leaving. Amen. About ball and about this and about that and carnal things, all as a distraction to swoop in and take the seed out of our heart. It was satanic. The God of this world tries all he can. Brother Larry, you know this. Bryson, he's doing all he can to keep blinders on the people that are listening, where the light is shining. And Paul said, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and that they would believe. And if believing they ain't could be saved, there is a satanic force that is at work today. Amen. Amen. We say it was swift. It's not only satanic, it was swift. Jesus said, and immediately. Said, as they heard, immediately. That seems, Brother Maurice, to indicate that the sower did that and the bird swooped in. You'd be amazed how swift the devil can be. He'll get you in the young years of your life, become hardened and become wayside hearted. So, amen, the seed never penetrates, the seed never makes an impact. And it makes his job easy to swoop in. Amen. And to thieve and to steal the sheep. Amen. That could change your life. Let me say it was satanic. It was swift. But according to what Jesus said, it was successful. I hate the devil today. He is so successful at making sure the seed does not make a difference. What about the last sermon you heard? Where'd it go? What happened to that service where you fell under conviction and had an opportunity to get saved? Where'd that opportunity go? What happened when you sat in that service and the Spirit of the Lord began to thump away on the hard heart of the wayside that you were living in, and He had your attention for a moment, and you said something like, I'll deal with that later. Where'd that later go? The devil is successfully carrying multitudes to hell today that know they need saving. They know, and they have been eyewitness to what the power of the gospel can do. The devil is carrying them by, and carrying to hell by the barrel loads. The barrel loads today, because he's stealing the seed out of their heart. And if the seed ain't there, you can't be saved. And if the seed ain't there, amen, if the seed is not there to be received, amen, you're hopeless. Amen, I beg you, wake up, wake up, wake up, wayside heart and soul. Wake up and understand you have an adversary. He hates you. He ain't your friend. He ain't your buddy. He desires your ultimate destruction. Jesus said, the thief cometh for but to steal, to kill, and ultimately to destroy. He wants to destroy your soul. Jesus said, watch out for the wayside heart. I close. Number four, Sister Candy's coming. The tragedy. The tragedy in the wayside heart. Look with me again in Luke chapter number 8. Luke records something here in Christ's explanation. He's explaining what he said in verse 5. Look with me in Luke chapter number 8 in verse 11 and 12. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts. Here's the tragedy now, lest they should believe and be saved. You can view all this as old fuddy-duddyism. You can look on the gospel and the preaching and the Word of God, the religion, the true religion, with scorn and disdain, and you can count it to be very, very little value. Here's the tragedy. Everybody here but Jack one day. Bob, one day, everybody has to stand before God. The tragedy of the wayside heart that Christ really singles in on is lest they should believe and be saved. Lest they should believe and be saved. Lest they should believe and be saved. Do you realize what Jesus is saying there? He's saying even the wayside heart has hope to believe and be saved. Even the wayside heart can believe and be saved. But they'll have to deal with that wayside heart. They'll have to let the Spirit of the Lord break up the fallow ground. They'll have to quit following all the influences that are leading them down the broad way. They'll have to quit their crooked ways. At least acknowledge their crooked ways. Are y'all listening? Acknowledge the frowardness of the path that they're living. Turn to the sower and say, give me the seed. Give me the seed. Give me the seed. Let me have the treasure of eternal life, lest they should believe and be saved. You know what the tragedy is? According to that, you die with a wayside heart, you'll bust tail wide open. Oh, preacher, you don't believe in that stuff, do you? Better believe I do. Jesus taught twice as much on hell and judgment and eternal damnation than he did heaven.
Amen.
Said more about hell than he did any other subject in all the Word of God.
Amen.
Tried to warn a crowd that was wayside hearted. Watch out! Watch out for the wayside heart. You know what the sad thing is? Verse 1 said there's a great multitude. They all lead, the Bible said, as disciples and some that were in the crowd. A very small percentage of them came to him and said, Lord, teach us about this. Lord, we know that's more than just a farming story. There's something deeper there. Help us. Where'd all the rest of the crowd go? They went back to their ball games. They went back to their televisions. They went back to their hunting stands. They went back to their fishing boats. They went back to their families. They went back to their colleges and their universities and their classrooms. They went back to their plans and their dreams. And they ain't a God blessed thing wrong with any of those things in their rightful place. But if you miss the gospel, you've missed it all. If you stay hard into this, you don't stand a chance in eternity. The devil today is doing all he can to distract some of you and keep you hardened, keep you from hearing it and keeping that seed from falling in good ground. It's time today, right now, to break up your fallow ground. Say, dear God, I'm interested. I'm interested. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die under judgment. I don't want to die facing eternal punishment. So I won't leave this place until God does a seed work in my life. Are you saved? What kind of heart do you have? You don't have a wayside heart, do you? You don't have a wayside heart, do you? If you got a wayside heart, you're in trouble. If you got a wayside heart, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You better watch out. Amen. I know we're preaching to lost this morning. I want the whole world to get saved. You know, a wayside heart, if you ain't careful, you can develop that as a saved child of God. They ain't no preacher, they ain't no parent, they ain't no spirit-filled Christian going to be able to tell you anything because you got hard-hearted. What kind of heart you got, child of God? So I'm saved. I believe the gospel, I'm saved. Well, don't let that wayside heart be developed in you as a child of God. Still got things to learn, still got things to receive, still got room to grow. Come on now, y'all know I'm doing it right. Watch out for the wayside heart. Amen.